Good morning and welcome, everybody, to this place of worship. We're trying to grab our breath from all the things that have happened in the house this morning. And having Gilbert and Laura there, we welcome them here to this service, and you will get to meet them yet, I'm sure. So welcome, everybody, and let us worship together. Now, we have some guests in the back. Heather.
My daughter, Natasha.
Oh, Natasha. Okay, sorry. Okay, well, I'll come. Okay. Maybe I should put my glasses on, eh? Yes, welcome. I won't be reading the land acknowledgement, but I do want to share a story. This spring, when I went to see my sister in Ontario, flying to Ottawa, and as you well know, those who fly, you never know who might be sitting beside you and whether they will even talk to you. Well, I was at the window seat, and there was an empty seat, and then this person. And as we got in the air out of Winnipeg, then we did start talking, and we engaged. He was a First Nations fellow going to Ottawa to do some negotiating. And so those 2.5 hours went so quick. And we exchanged email addresses, and he gave the recommendation to read The Inconvenient Indian. And didn't say anything about it. And that was his parting words to me. And I did. I did read that book. And what an eye-opener to hear or to read that history. And I'm so glad that he recommended me to read that. And now we will be reading Be It Resolved as a group in the church. Hopefully we haven't got started yet, but we will. And how the Mennonite Church has been involved in Indigenous affairs since 1966. And so, yes, we will be reading the text in Luke about the road to Emmaus and the two men that were there, and they had a guest and they didn't know who it was until later. Well, we were two guys on a trip on a journey as well, but we were strangers to start with, but we weren't strangers when we finished. And I feel that God was present in our conversation. So that was a really neat experience for myself, because I didn't want to fly, I didn't want to go, I didn't want to leave this place, and made the break, and God blessed with this person in our conversation. So, wonderful, yes. Let us pray our call to worship. We need your presence on the long road, Lord. The road between fear and hope. The road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Amen. To the confession and assurance. O Lord, sometimes we are so busy talking with each other that we fail to find you beside us. We walk on, so focused on our questions that we do not create the silent spaces which would allow you to speak with us and enlighten our journeying. As we look at our lives and that of the world around us, we are sometimes too anxious to share our real questions or our doubts and our fears. We keep them within us in troubled silence. Stay with us, Lord Jesus. reach out towards us and invite us to pause and meet you, we pray. We call your name and hope to discover you here in our community of vulnerable faith. We believe that you, Jesus, never leaves us or forsakes us. Let us open our hearts to receive the grace which Christ brings to us in faithfulness. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For the first song today, we're going to grab our piece of paper that hopefully you all have access to. Share with your neighbor. Speak, O Lord, and let's stand together. Join in worship.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let your truth prevail. Grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truth's unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith
the next song, Unity, it's up on the overhead.
Jesus, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in times we disagree, or what's right or wrong to do. It's so hard to really see from the other's point of view how we long for power. Forget the one who came as a servant, not a king. Jesus, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in unity.
We will pray for the offering, which has been collected at the back of the church, and let us bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for the goodness in our lives. As we give our offerings, we recognize your generosity in our lives. You are a God who blesses, and our lives are all blessed by you. Thank you, Father, for giving us financial blessings, which we have been able to share. Bless these offerings, we pray. Amen. Don't think we have a children's story that I know of, unless things have changed. No? Okay. Let me check. Scripture reading. First reading is from Genesis, chapter 2, verse 25, to chapter 3, verse 10. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." A further scripture from Luke 24:13-35, and we will just sit and listen. I won't be reading it.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Before I ask Laura to join me up here, I'll just do a little bit of an introduction. She may not need an introduction, but I'll give it anyways. Laura has been a friend of mine and many in our congregation for a long time, and I understand she's related to quite a few of you. Laura has been ordained as a spiritual director by Mennonite Church Manitoba, and has served as a spiritual director in residence for Mennonite Church Manitoba. Through her private business called Butterfly Journeys, she works as a spiritual director, a retreat leader, she's an author, and a workshop facilitator, and she's based out of Winnipeg. Laura grew up experiencing Camp Koinonia, watching the turtle derbies, and she still loves Tommy the Turtle. Please join me as we pray for Laura. I'll ask her to come now. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of Laura's presence with us today and for the many gifts you have blessed her with. Be with her now as she shares both those gifts and the message you have whispered to her heart. Through Laura, you will speak to each of us. Open our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts so that we may hear your message and understand how you desire us to move forward, both as individuals and as this body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, thank you for inviting me to be among you this morning. It is lovely to be back in the rolling hills of the Turtle Mountains, so near to Camp Koinonia, where I've made so many wonderful memories and encountered the Holy One in so many ways. I'm going to confess outright that I don't know your specific congregation very well, even though some of you remember me when I was still in diapers. But I know that you have been avid supporters of Camp Koinonia, and I thank you and bless you for that wonderful, wonderful ministry. I can also deduce that since you are worshiping in a space built for many more people than are actually present here this morning, that you are well within the throes of what is happening in the body of Christ beyond these walls. Friends, we are in a time of sea change. Many of us do not like change. We would rather batten down the hatches and wait for the squall to pass, for things to get back to normal. Dear ones, I have some news. It's not going to get back to normal. Just like our spiritual ancestors experienced 500 years ago, the church is going through something very big. I have more news. The Spirit of God will not abandon us. I invite you to explore this theme with me this morning. We begin at the beginning. In the beginning, just after everything was created, God looked around the beautiful garden for the wonderful, amazing, lovely human beings. Well, honestly, did God really have to look around? Doesn't God know everything? Of course not, but that's how the story goes. God always knows and always loves. God calls out to the humans who were inadequately trying to hide in so many ways. Where are you? The question has many layers. Physically, where have you gone off to? And emotionally, how is it that when you need me most, you have tried to absent yourself from me? Back in the Reformation, our spiritual ancestors looked at this passage that was used to justify the theory of original sin. And 500 years ago, our people rejected this teaching, claiming we didn't need infant baptism to wash away the stain that the church taught we were born with. Rather, claiming that the goodness of God is planted more deeply than all that is wrong. And children were born in innocence rather than sin. Children learned sin through the pain and brokenness that came into this world after the glory and goodness of creation. Therefore, we don't need to fear a wrathful God who needs perfection to be satisfied, we can approach our God of love anytime. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No sin too great, no past too shameful. Just like God reached out to the first humans in the Garden of Eden, God reaches out to you every moment of every day. And so I turn God's question from the garden to you. Where are you? Are there parts of yourself that you try to hide from God, feeling shame or guilt or worry? Do you think that you are not good enough in some way to present your whole self to God? Or have you practiced independence for so long that you've forgotten what intimacy and dependence on God looks like? Are you perhaps a prodigal child, longing to fill your belly with things that won't satisfy you, all the while pining for some past when things were better? Are you feeling stale in your relationship with God, looking for something new or different? Or maybe you are sitting at the edge of your seat with eager anticipation, just waiting for God, for what God will do next in this turbulent world. Let's jump ahead to another beginning. The Gospel of Luke ends with a number of stories of how the risen Christ appears to the disciples in various ways. They were in another time of change, and they were struggling. Two disciples were on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus comes and walks alongside them. I love his questions. First, he asks, "What are you discussing?" And they are sad and incredulous. "Are you the only person around who has no clue what just happened?" Jesus gives them the opportunity to tell their whole story in their own words. Two words in English: what things? He invites them to spill out all their grief and pain and bewilderment. And he listens. And only when they are absolutely finished talking, he speaks directly to their hearts. They desperately want to make meaning of all that has been going on. And Jesus turns them to their sacred story, to the scriptures they all know, and he traces his finger through Moses and all of the prophets, and he shows them the messianic promises and how Jesus fulfilled them all. It was so wonderful to be with this stranger whom their eyes were kept from recognizing that they invited him to stay with them. "The day is getting late. Let's retire. Come eat with us." And they finally recognize him in communion. They confess to each other their burning in their hearts, their passion reignited. And even though they were about to retire for the day, after a long day of walking, they suddenly found energy to run all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the others this amazing story. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They couldn't wait till the morning. They had to do it now. And so I turn Jesus' questions to you. What are you talking about? What kinds of things have troubled you? What are you worrying about? Let Jesus welcome you with all his love and compassion. He is the wonderful counselor. He knows your heart and will hold you with more love and care than you can imagine. Therefore, we turn to a new beginning, a beginning so profound they will talk about it for generations to come. This beginning, look around and within to see the Holy Spirit of God at work. Accept the deep and unconditional love of God, not to become self-absorbed or arrogant. We are loved so that we can reflect deeper the love of God into this world. You were made for this moment. You have gifts and abilities for this time and this place. So put aside gossip and worry about what others might think or anything that keeps you from embracing this moment. Move into your rightful place in the reign of God. We are in an era of sea change. Even this building tells us it was built for a larger crowd. And you are not alone. Many congregations are facing this challenge. But friends, there is a difference between a country club and churches. If Jesus wanted a country club, would he have picked a zealot and a tax collector to be one? Fishers would have been right out. Would he have accepted sponsorship from women? Probably not. And yet, he did. He worked with people who he called and who responded to this call. Do you want to be part of this new thing? You're here, you must. And it's gonna be different. We've got new wine coming. We're gonna need some new wineskins. It's gonna be different. We're gonna need to adjust. I'd like to share a few stories of what I've seen of the Spirit of God at work in the world to encourage you to look around you and see the ways the Spirit is at work. Now, confidentiality is very important to me, and I assure you that I've been given specific permission to share these stories with you. I've been trained in a specific prayer called Emmanuel prayer. Emmanuel is the name given to Jesus, meaning God with us, and Jesus is still with us. The Emmanuel prayer process is specifically designed to help us see Jesus in our everyday life and in times of past hurts and trauma. As another person was being trained in this process, she prayed a simple prayer at home. Jesus, help me perceive your presence. She stepped out in faith, knowing that God is with us all the time, and turned to her inner knowing, her inner eye, to reflect, how is Jesus with me? And suddenly, her inner eyes were opened to see Jesus in her kitchen, right there with her. And he was tossing up into the air a plum. And that caught her by surprise. Where did he get the plum from? And then she looked and she saw a bowl of prunes that she and her kids had been snacking on. And she realized in Jesus' hands, all things are made new. Even prunes become plums. And this was especially special to her because she had been struggling with something and needed some affirmation and encouragement that Jesus could make all things new. I was working with a young woman who was feeling quite distant from God. She had grown up hearing the stories of Christmas and Easter and thought that they were nice fairy tales at the most. But she was desperate. She really needed some help with some serious trouble in her life. And so she knew someone who was involved, and we got connected. And the night before she came for prayer with me, she dreamed and she saw my face. We were acquaintances, she knew me, but seeing my face in her dream gave her encouragement that maybe there was something here for her. And so she came together, my prayer partner and I explained the process a little bit to her, and we started in. We gave her space, just like Jesus on the road to Emmaus gave her space to tell her story. And then we went into a time of prayer. And as she closed her eyes, suddenly the fluorescent light directly above her blew out. And her eyes flew open and she said, "What just happened?" And my prayer partner explained, "Well, the light blew out." She said, "No, what just happened?" Perceiving that something profound had shifted in her, I gave her the opportunity to tell me what just happened. And she said, "I saw Jesus' face right here. He's real. Jesus is real." And her mind was blown and her heart was changed. And in that moment, any problem that she had come with seemed so small compared to the living presence of the risen Christ right there, gazing on her with so much love and compassion and acceptance and welcome. It changed her heart that day to the point where she went back to church. And shortly after, she was baptized and became a member of the church, and her life was changed. The third story I want to tell you is just after I have a sip of water. All right, story number three. Years ago, I had a wonderful prayer partner. She and I would come to each other with our heart's concerns, a spiritual friend, if you will. And we would take time to share and pray with each other in this way, perceiving the presence of Christ right here with us. And I had expressed a concern. We were camping together. I expressed a concern to her, and she said, "Do you want to pray about that?" I'm like, "That would probably be good." And our husbands were off discussing engines and motors and things, whatever they were discussing. And we pulled up a couple of lawn chairs. And I went back to a memory from kindergarten. And I distinctly remember our teacher coming through. We were coloring. And she looked at what I was coloring. And she said, "What's that?" And he looked beside me, and the girl next to me had drawn this cute little house with the lollipop tree and the little sun in the corner and stick people, whatever, and it all looked very right. And I looked at what I had drawn, and it didn't look right. And suddenly I was overcome with shame and embarrassment, and I took my piece of paper, and I just folded it over, and I didn't want anyone to see it. And I was feeling ashamed that what I had drawn wasn't right. And in the memory of that moment, I sensed the Holy Spirit right behind me, just where I couldn't see. But I felt her comforting, loving presence. And it gave me the courage and the strength I needed to do my own personal work. And so I took my piece of paper, and he opened it up, and I thought I was going to look at what I had drawn, and the Spirit and I would do some work, and I'd have some insights, but instead, 100 butterflies flew out from my paper. And you can imagine 100 butterflies in a room full of 30 or so children, kindergarten children. Imagine butterflies filling this room, right? Wouldn't that be fun if 100 butterflies showed up? And the active children were chasing them, and the quieter ones had them land on them. And there was awe and wonder and joy and delight that filled the room, and everybody got to interact with these butterflies in the way they wanted to. And it was a beautiful, beautiful healing moment for me, where I realized that what I brought wasn't typical or standard. And I had the courage to look back on my piece of paper, and it had all these colorful squiggles all over it. And I realized in that moment I had drawn the paths of the butterflies. And so I took that moment and I named my practice of spiritual direction after that moment of healing in my own life. And it's called Butterfly Journeys. And in my practice, I get to see, I get to walk alongside people in their journeys of transformation and encounter of the divine. And it's a circuitous path. It's not straight. It's not linear. It goes all over the place, and surprises happen at every turn. And God is there with us, even guiding us and directing us. It's wonderful. These stories are the fruit of taking time and energy to listen to the heartbeat of the spirit at work in the world. And when you take time to do this, you too will experience the awe and wonder, the joy and the delight of life in the spirit. You'll have energy to run back to Jerusalem even after a long day, metaphorically speaking, of course. What I mean is you'll have passion for the era ahead. You will have joy in Jesus, and this will be your strength. We are loved so that we can reflect the deeper love of God into this world. And this is hard. It takes discipline and practice. We call them spiritual practices for a reason. Do you have spiritual practices that feed your soul, that you connect with, that you can't wait to engage in? Or maybe you're looking for some refreshment, something new, something different, change it up a bit. I have a few things to suggest if you're at all interested. I've got some tables set up in the basement and some instructions and some ideas. So if you're looking for something new, shameless pitch here, come to Sunday school. Open to all ages, all walks of life, all interests. If you've been close to Jesus like this for 80 years, or if you're wandering and wondering, I invite you to come downstairs, see what happens. Dear siblings in Christ, as we enter this time of change, may our hearts burn within us as we open our ears to hear the stories of the Holy Spirit at work around us and in the world. May we open our hearts to receive the gifts the Spirit wants to give us. May we open our hands to share the love of God which is poured out to the world through Christ, so that we may participate fully in the reign of God. May we lay aside every word of gossip, every anxiety about the future, every concern for our reputation, every insecurity that would keep us from God, and in doing so, run unencumbered into the welcoming lap of the Holy One who welcomes you, loves you, empowers you with a unique ministry so that God's reign may be made more manifest here and now.
Thank you, Laura. Please stand.
Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face to you and bring you peace. The Lord, turn his face to you and bring you peace. Oh, may the Lord bless you. And be gracious to you. And be gracious to you.
May the Christ who walks on wounded feet walk with you on the road. May the Christ who serves with wounded hands stretch out your hands to serve. May the Christ who loves with a wounded heart open your hearts to love. May you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet, and may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. Amen.